back to the Starting Lineup podcast. It is Monday, October 9th. We are in the midst of
playoff baseball.
Playoff baseball divisional series are one currently happening, which is...
I forgot what our names are. Can you tell me what our names are again?
Would you relax over there? It is your host, fearless leader, Shep Jones, across the table. His partner in crime, Mitch George. How was your weekend, Mitch?
Pretty good, pretty low-key, still grieving for the Twins loss, but I mean, it was filled in by some Bryce Harper bombs, and so I'm officially on the Nationals bandwagon now. I'm sorry.
You just had to go there, didn't you?
I'm sorry, man, but.
As a fan of the Cubs, I'm okay with just taking one in Washington, because then home field shifts to Wrigley, which the game starts in 3 hours or so, just under three. That's the idea for any team that's on the road in the playoffs, whether it's any league that has a series, so NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, if you take one at your opponent's home field and you have then shifted home field to your side, that's the idea for any away team, ideally speaking, is at least taking one. If you take two, that's beautiful.
Exactly.
I'm okay with just one. But let's jump in.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Houston and Boston are currently playing right now. It is tied 1-1 at the bottom
of
the first.
Scored, huh?
The Charlie Morton start doesn't make a ton of sense to me for Houston.
Well, especially now since he let off leadoff home run.
Yeah, that's not a good way to get things going. Charlie Morton had an okay year. Nothing fantastic. This year, 14-7 with a 3.62 ERA and 25 starts. That's not terrible. Just shy of 150 innings pitched, so not a very deep pitcher. So I wonder if they're just trying to get the five innings out of Charlie Morton and then bring in their bullpen and trying to shut it down. At least get a big enough lead where you can either A, leave Morton out there and save your bullpen, or pull Martin and just shut him down after that.
Sure. Would you have rather seen Lance McCullers here?
I would have rather seen Lance McCullers. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
That would make sense. And then do you think, so say Boston wins this game and ties it up, do you think we see Justin Verlander again in game four?
Probably not.
Okay.
I think if Lance McCullers doesn't start today, then you put him at game four, and then you would go Verlander game five if it's necessary, but that will be determined by the end of today, mm-hmm. whether or not today is game four.
This is game four. So we're going to see Verlander tomorrow then.
Right. We would see Verlander tomorrow if a game four or game five happened, don't think it will happen. Rick Porcello had the one good year, somehow got away with it. Cy Young.
Everyone made a huge deal about how he had 20 wins. And to me, out of all of the stats in Major League Baseball, pitcher wins is the worst.
Yes.
It is the worst stat to judge a player's adeptness. Is that a word?
I would look at win or strikeouts, innings pitched, ERA, and whip. Those are the four that I would be concerned with.
ERA more or less. I'm starting to lose my faith in ERA too, but I still stand by WHIP. I think WHIP is a really good stat, but gosh, I'm hashtag team abolish the win.
I mean, the win is a nice stat, but it shouldn't be considered in for something like awards like MVP or.
I mean, it literally means nothing. Like you can pitch five innings and let up seven runs, but your team scores eight and still get a win.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, like we saw a lot this year, pitchers will pitch scoreless baseball through eight and then lose the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who was it? Was it Rich Hill with the Dodgers this year that took the no-hitter into the 10th inning and then lost it on a walk-off home run?
Right. Which is a terrible way to lose a...
Or no, it wasn't. I don't think it was. Was it a walk-off or not? I think it happened in Pittsburgh. Maybe it was a walk-off. I don't remember the exact circumstances.
Well, a guy I played high school baseball with, he had a no-hitter through 8 1/3 against the A's and then gave up a solo home run to end the no-hitter and the shutout. And I was like, oh, that's a bad way to... Nice. If you give up a hit, if you give up a single, you give up a single. That's not as bad as giving up a home run plus the run scoring.
Exactly. that's funny, though.
Yeah, it was like, you almost did it, Mikey. You almost got it. But Brad Peacock started yesterday.
Yep.
And then McCullers came out of the bullpen and threw three innings. Three hits, two runs, two earned, two walks, four strikeouts. Francisco Liriano was the issue with yesterday's game. Third of an inning, two hits, one run, one earned, and the home run, which was the big break there.
He's been all over the place now.
I think Liriano's just about done.
Yeah, he's got to be. I mean, he's been with the White Sox, the Twins, the Blue Jays, the Pirates, and the Astros.
Mm-hmm. Now. He's 33, which for a pitcher, still have some length there, but unless he gets moved into a bullpen
role.
Yeah,
once you get older, you start to lose some of the bite in your slider, and that was his premier pitch. So it's weird seeing him come out of the bullpen now.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's where he kind of ends up being at the start of next year. I was watching the game two of Indians and the Yankees. Wow, was that fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
13 innings. And I had that on along with the Cub game, game one. I was just kind of looking back and forth between the TVs because I was at work and kind of poked my head out. God, they got lucky with a foul pole grand slam.
Gosh. I can't believe that.
But sometimes it's the Indians, and they did pretty good last year throughout the playoffs. And sometimes you get lucky, and sometimes you're just good. I think the Indians are just good. They gave up one run yesterday, and that was a solo home run to Greg Bird. But other than that, that's the only hiccup they've really had, and that's not that big. They fought back in game two, won it in 13 innings.
It's tough when you lose a playoff game 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
That's...
And so far, from our predictions that we made for playoff series, I'm holding true on 3 out of 4. Because I said 4-1 or in 4 for 3 out of 4 series. And then I said the Diamondbacks swept the Dodgers. That's
all the way around.
That's a
right
poor
now.
Move.
Yeah.
So, it's the other way around.
So right now... it's kind of interesting. I believe we have every single high seed set to advance.
With the exception of the Cubs
right, that's 1-1.
Right, that's
1-1. Wouldn't that be something? Because both top-seeded wildcard teams won. Mm-hmm. And now it looks like possibly even today we'll see three teams move on as the high seed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'd be interested to see. Like, I obviously there's still a lot of time left for the high seed to win. They'd have to win the championship series if, in fact, they all did win all the division series games. Mm-hmm. We'd have to see the high seed win both the championship series games and the World Series as well. But I wonder if that's ever happened. I'm sure there's a chance that it has, but
so
I doubt
it would be Cleveland
and
LA would be essentially your top seeds.
Yeah. See Cleveland, LA. I mean, that's the World Series that a lot of people have picked in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But they kind of rescinded that a little bit when the Dodgers started slumping a little bit while the Indians were staying hot.
Yeah. I think the Indians are really the team to beat at the moment.
So let me ask you this. I don't think we've talked about this in previous podcasts, but who had the more impressive season, the Indians or the Dodgers?
Indians.
Okay.
I think they kind of capped it off with the Dodgers starting their slump. And blew them out of the water with the win streak.
It was towards perfect the end timing. Of the year. It was mm-hmm. perfect timing. The Indians were they were hanging in there, but they weren't doing quite amazing. And then once the Dodgers started going downhill, mm-hmm. and the Indians rattled off their...
Well, and the Indians didn't have a lot of major injuries that didn't have them have that losing streak like the Dodgers when they lost Kershaw and then they lost Rich Hill for
Cody Bellinger,
Alex Wood. And, you know, when you start losing pitchers, that becomes an issue. And granted, Cleveland moved Danny Salazar out of the starting rotation and moved him back to the bullpen, but Mike Clevenger stepped up and really taken on that role of being a starting pitcher and taking Danny Salazar's spot.
Right.
But you had Corey Kluber had a really good year. Carlos Carrasco had a really good year. Even Trevor Bauer had a pretty solid year as well. And when your starting pitching is locked down and throwing really well, you're going to win a lot of games, and you're going to have a really good team. And they're young, too.
Very
I think that's
young.
The thing about the Indians, they're young.
Except for Corey Kluber. Corey Kluber's getting a little old, though. That's obviously not
And they've got Edwin Encarnacion, too. He's,
right.
I mean, you replaced Mike Napoli with Edwin Encarnacion. I was like, I probably would have kept Napoli, to be honest.
I don't know. I mean, if you compared last year's season, then Encarnacion was the better player.
Right.
But I think I'd have to look up Napoli's stats, but Encarnacion wasn't the guy that they expected to sign.
He definitely kind of had a down year after being in Toronto, and Toronto's a pretty easy place to hit a lot of balls out of the park. Right. Cleveland, not so much. High walls and everything.
That mini monster in left field.
Right. I don't know. I Mike Napoli, I think, had a pretty good year with the Rangers because he went back to Texas.
Yeah, I mean, his batting average wasn't anywhere near 300, which, I mean, we don't expect that with Mike Napoli anymore, but I think he was it was fairly low, but he still maintained his home run numbers like he has in the past.
Yeah, Mike Napoli in 124 games, so it's either he was coming off the bench or as a DH or got hurt some long way, had a 193 batting average.
Yeah.
Hit 29 home runs, but that's starting to kind of become the thing where players with low batting averages are still hitting a
lot. How many strikeouts did he have? Because you're kind of getting into that Adam Dunn territory.
163.
Yikes. That's more than one a game. Not as much as Aaron
last
Judge,
year,
though.
Last year had 194 and still hit 239. So better average, more strikeouts, more games as well by about 25, 26 games, and about 200 more plate appearances. So I think he was coming off the bench more so than anything else, or just kind of get the occasional DH start, especially when Adrian Beltre kept getting the hamstring injuries. You had Joey Gallo pretty much playing third for the most part.
Batting 200 and hitting bombs.
Yeah, crushing baseballs. And then you had Aaron Judge do the same thing after the All-Star break.
Aaron Judge struck out 208 times this year. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's not great.
not too great.
So currently we've got a still 1-1 score in Boston, right? They're in Boston now?
Yeah, they're in Boston.
Starting at 7 o'clock this evening is Trevor Bauer and Luis Severino.
Eastern time, so 6 o'clock Central.
Yeah. Will Severino last more than a third of an inning?
he's not facing the powerhouse of the Twins this time. So. I'd like to think that he will. Well, I wouldn't like to think that he will because I'm not rooting for the Yankees. But I think he should go at least two or three. That's insane.
Right.
Just for how bad starting pitching has been this postseason so far.
Well, up until the Cubs and Nationals game one, no pitcher had made it out of the third, or no runs had been scored in the first inning.
Right. I think there's a
which
stat,
is insane.
I might have brought this up last week, but all the wild card teams, they only got 7 1/3 innings out of their combined starters altogether, which is remarkable.
And game one for Cubs and Nationals was really a pitcher's duel. Hendricks looked good. Strasburg looked really good.
Yeah.
He looked better than Hendricks, but he left some pitches in the zone, and Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo got a hold of him. Rizzo had a really nice swing going the other way on a two-strike count,
right.
Which he's been really good at because he chokes up so far on two-strike counts, he's able to kind of push it the other way.
Then the late game tonight, we have the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks. If you like pitching, that's going to be a good game to watch because you got Darvish and you got Greinke going.
Right. And Darvish hasn't been great since he came over to L.A., but usually in the postseason when he makes it there and he's healthy, he actually performs relatively well.
I mean, Greinke wasn't fantastic in his last start either, so... We'll see how that goes.
Okay, yeah, can the Diamondbacks avoid a sweep at home? I think they'll avoid a sweep. Because they've gotten close, and they keep inching closer, and then Archie Bradley gives up runs.
Right.
Just like he did against the Rockies in the wild card game.
I mean, depending on where Corey Seager's batting in the order, he's batting .545 off of Zach Greinke.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Pretty good.
And then at three is Nationals at Cubs. Max Scherzer making his return from a hamstring injury, and Jose Quintana makes his first playoff appearance as a starter. If And the Nationals can do the same thing for game four against Jake Arrieta. You try, at least if, in my mind, as if I'm going up against a starting pitcher who hasn't really pitched over the last 2 weeks and have been dealing with a leg issue, you try and get them to move. You try and get them to feel their position, whether you lay down a bunt. Like, say, I know John Jay is leading off for the Cubs today. John Jay puts down a bunt. John Jay is actually pretty quick. You try and to see if Max Scherzer has the mobility to feel his position and throw out. You'd have Trey Turner do the same thing tomorrow night against Jake Arrieta. If you're managing a club and you're going up against a pitcher who does that, do you start playing small ball or you stick to your game plan?
Well, like you said, it all depends on how mobile he is. I mean, but once you do it once, I think that he'll kind of snap back into it and just realize, oh, I have to. I'm not just pitching up here. I also have to feel my position after the ball leaves my hand. But that'll be something that I think you probably could catch him by surprise with in the first inning. I mean, ideally, you'd like to see your leadoff guy take a few pitches and make Scherzer find the strike zone. Mm-hmm. Like you said, he hasn't pitched in a little while, so that might be something that he needs to reorient himself with.
And I know for Scherzer, I think it's same thing for Arrieta. The hamstring issues for both of them are both on their load legs, which. That could either be one or two things. Either they're perfectly fine and they're going to fill their position well and go deep into a game, or they're going to start favoring. They're going to lose a little bit of control, a little velocity. But that will be seen, at least for Max Scherzer, around 3 o'clock today.
You want to hear something funny?
Go right ahead.
Max Scherzer's batting average is just 30 points lower than Mike Napoli's.
That's not good. That's not good.
And Mike Napoli's supposed to be this huge offensive threat.
Right. Well, he had his career resurgence after he purposely got his jaw broken to set everything
and
forward.
And Scherzer also has 129th of the home runs that Napoli's hit this year.
Did you say 129th?
129th.
Oh, okay.
As a fraction.
Good Lord.
129th.
Getting deep in the numbers, Mitch. I like it.
I'm a stat head. Big stat guy.
Yeah, you're a stat guy. I'm a story guy. I like the stories. And a little tidbit here that we were talking about this before we hit record. A man is suing Major League Baseball and the Chicago Cubs after going blind from a foul ball at Wrigley Field. And we had a brief discussion about it, but we're
Should
both...
Should I make the joke real quick?
Go right ahead.
Gives a whole new meaning to keep your eye on the ball.
Yeah.
You like that?
Tweet
us in and... Tell me if you like these semi-offensive jokes that have been thrown out there.
Yeah, you're on a roll for the last, 2.5 weeks. but his name is John Luce. He's 16. He's completely blind in his left eye. But you've seen, especially over the last 2 years, clubs starting to expand their netting around home plate. Now they're at the end of the dugouts. Or the beginning of the dugouts, I believe. I think they're going to push them all the way to the end of the dugouts.
Right.
But that's still not going to totally eliminate the chance of someone getting hit with a foul ball, a broken bat. The family of the girl that got hit and broke her nose, you haven't seen them try to sue the Yankees or it wasn't at Yankee Stadium.
It was.
It was?
Yeah.
Or Major League Baseball. I mean, that happens.
And like we were saying, that you are warned several times, because if you're sitting that close, there's usually plaques in front of your seat or in the aisles that say beware of flying objects, whether it be balls or bats.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the back of your tickets. Not that everyone reads the back of their tickets,
right.
But and then on top of that, the announcer always warns fans, not even just behind the home plate, but in the entire ballpark, beware of flying balls and bats. So
right.
It's not like it's a baseball game. You shouldn't be surprised that baseballs are flying.
You should
around
be paying attention and not, you know. I get it that food is a big thing, concessions. You're going to go get a hot dog or a burger or something like that, and you're going to be looking down to make sure you're putting the food in your mouth and not, you know, into your cheek and not paying attention. but I don't like it when people are just that close and you're sitting that close to actual gameplay and people's heads are in their phones.
Right.
I mean, you've spent a solid chunk of money to be that close to a game, and you're just going to sit in your seat and be on your phone the entire time? No, enjoy the game, enjoy the seats that you've paid for, pay attention. Because you get that split second reaction. Your body is going to go fight or flight. And when you see a ball going 105 miles an hour at your face, you're going to try to move. And if that guy tries to move, there's doesn't say whether or not he was just sitting there watching the game or wasn't paying attention. But it, you're going to have enough chance to move, at least to avoid getting hit in your eyes or your nose or your mouth. I mean, you have a chance.
You'll have time to at least get a hand up so it hits your hand.
Right. But that's my little baseball story I got in there. Another report here, Brad Ausmus might have a job. He's on the Mets radar to replace Terry Collins, which kind of knew that was going to happen at some point.
We knew both those were going to happen. We knew Collins was going to step down. We also knew that Ausmus was going to get that big old can.
Mm-hmm. And that's hard when you're kind of going through a rebuild mode or beginning that year trying to see what kind of team you have. But it's a tough draw.
I'm going to be interested to see who the Tigers hire more than anything else.
There's a Bleacher Report article, 2017 Major League Free Agency, worst values sure to be overpaid.
Okay.
Number 7 is Andrew Cashner.
Probably. I could see that.
Well, pitchers get paid a lot. Eduardo Nunez.
Overpaid?
Overpaid.
He bats over 300.
I do not agree with him being there. Wade Davis. You have to pay for closing now.
Yep.
Closing pitchers you have to pay for. And for Wade Davis, who's been one of the most consistent Major League Baseball closers over the last 5 years, I'm going to pay for it. Not Aroldis Chapman money, but...
Right, and that's something where I'm a big advocate that top-level relievers and closers gravitate toward contending ball clubs, and if you are not a contending ball club, you need to dish your relievers and dish your closers, especially if they're good and you can get a good return for them.
Well, Mark Melancon made a poor choice then.
Right, but at the same time, I don't know. It's just...
Well, here's another former closer.
Yeah.
Pat Neshek. Former closer. Not so anymore because Greg Holland is now the guy, but he's also a free agent because it was just a one-year kind of show-me deal for Holland and the Rockies, which I think the Rockies are going to be like, all right, here's the contract for you. But that's three closers now in this, or two. Two closers in this list, an infielder, a starter, and now a first baseman.
And I think I'm going to touch on the closer thing just really quick. I'm having a hard time getting my words out on
Come
this
on,
topic,
man.
Apparently. But you almost have to target closers in free mm-hmm. agency now just because all the top-level talent has gone from the bad teams, and almost all of the top-level closers are on really good teams now, mm-hmm. so you're not going to be able to pick them up at the trade deadline or a little bit before that. You're going to have to spend in free agency.
Or you make that trade before the season even starts. That's right. How the Cubs got Wade Davis as they shipped.
Right, so like the Royals dished Wade Davis. Cincinnati a while ago dished Aroldis Chapman. Mm-hmm. These lower-level ball clubs that have these emerging closers and that talent there, they get rid of them, and they can actually get a pretty good haul for someone that's not going to help a losing ball club.
What was the haul for Kinsler?
It was two minor league starting pitchers, one of which pitched this year, and the other one, I believe, did not.
Okay. So some hope there going forward. The first baseman on this list is Kansas City Royal Eric Hosmer. I don't think he would get overpaid. He'd get paid just about right. He could get underpaid if he stays with the Royals, though.
I think he'll see upwards of $20 million.
Oh, I definitely agree. Will the Royals be able to cover that? Probably not.
No, I don't think the Royals keep him. I think he's gonzo.
Yeah. I completely agree with number 6 here, Jake Arrieta.
Yeah.
He wants Max Scherzer kind of numbers, kind of looking at David Price, Greinke, Cueto, and Zimmerman type of long-term deals.
If he wants Max Scherzer numbers, he should put up Max Scherzer numbers.
Absolutely. He's 32, so on an average Major League Baseball pitcher, he's past his apex. He's past his prime. He had his prime. He got the Cy Young, and ever since then, he hasn't really been that good. But his agent is Scott Boras. Scott Boras is notorious for being one of those agents that teams just really don't like dealing with. But he's asking, he's drawing a 4 or 5 year deal with upwards of 120 to 130 million. Not worth that amount of money.
Not at all.
I could see 100 mil. I could envision that.
20 mil a year, that'd be reasonable.
Right. You know, but you got to put in options there for a team. If he's 32 and he signs a 4 year deal, he'll be 36. That was a lot of people's concerns with John Lester's deal. He was 31 at that point. He'll be 36 or 37 by the time that contract's up. For a pitcher like Arrieta, there's got to be a team option in there. Because who knows, over the last – he had a pretty good end of the year until he hurt his hamstring. But he's always been a decent second half pitcher. And the last one here is Lance Lynn, which I can agree with. Lance Lynn has not been great, but some team is going to overpay for him.
I don't doubt that. Especially with the premium that's placed on starting pitching, and especially in free agency, that I think that a lot of teams are going to know that they're overpaying, but realize that they need to overpay in order to get their guys that they want.
This past week, this past weekend, we have several injuries that have happened. On Sunday, we've got J.J. Watt out for the year with a tibial plateau fracture, also known as a leg fracture. Odell Beckham is having ankle surgery for a broken ankle. Whitney Merciless, also for the Texans, torn pectoral.
Chris Conley,
ruptured Achilles.
Travis Kelce got a concussion.
Yeah, Travis Kelce. Charles Clay had a procedure on his knee this morning. He could be out for several weeks. You can't avoid these kind of things in football. They just happen. They're freak injuries.
It's crazy how many injuries came out of that Kansas City game last night.
Right? It's crazy how many injuries just came out of one day.
Yeah.
You had star players just out for the entire year, being J.J. Watt and Odell Beckham Jr. But that's just the way football is. You had Devontae Adams get rushed two Thursdays ago, and he still played. Right. He got carted off the field. It's weird Sunday in the form of injuries, and the Buccaneers kicker carousel continues. A kicker, Patrick Murray, will be kicking Sunday against Arizona. So Nick Folk is
Sorry,
out
Nick.
Of Tampa Bay.
Sorry, Nick.
So they've gone through three kickers, and it's only week five. Granted, they cut Roberto Aguayo in preseason, but that's not a great way to...
No.
Because if Tampa Bay makes all of those field goals they missed, they beat New England. They beat New England.
That'd be remarkable.
They left 9 points on the field, and they would have beat New England.
Did you hear how hot it was at the Rams game?
Mm-hmm.
There weren't any fans in there.
Yeah, it was. It looked.
Get it?
Yeah. even watching the game, it was kind of a desolate stadium.
And just came through Bleacher Report that Odell Beckham Jr. is out for the year.
Yep.
Bang.
Yep.
So the Giants are going to be good this year.
Giants are still 0-5. Is Eli Manning done in New York?
No.
No?
No. I don't think so.
Is this Ben Roethlisberger's last year? Threw 5 interceptions against the Jaguars. And I'll give credit to the Jaguars. Their defense this year has actually been pretty good.
Yeah, if Ben Roethlisberger doesn't improve his game, I would bet that there's probably over 50% chance that he ends it after this year because he was contemplating it after last season.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if he doesn't perform well, I think he definitely will.
Yeah. To end the show in the last minute or so here. Monday night, Vikings at Bears.
I pick the Vikings.
Well, as you should. I also will pick the Vikings because as a Bears fan, I know that team is not great. Their front seven for the defense, pretty good. Secondary, bad. Receivers, bad. Running back, pretty good. Quarterback, question mark. Because this is Mitch Trubisky's first start. We'll see what he can do. Offensive line is not terrible either. But if you can't stop the pass, you're going to lose games.
Right.
And if slinging Sammy Ocho is starting tonight for the Vikings,
watch out for 400 yards.
This game's over before it even starts.
400 yards, 4 touchdowns. Book it.
I will second that. Okay. The secondary for the Bears is god-awful.
All righty.
That'll wrap it up for a Monday edition of the Starting Lineup. We will be back Thursday, potentially with some series already being done for Major League Baseball playoff.
I think the series will be already done. I think
two of them.
Really? There's games?
Game fives for NL, if it gets there, would be Thursday.
Okay.
But the ALs will be done, and then we'll do some Week 6 preview for NFL.
Cool.
We will be back on Thursday.
See ya.